We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, our subject for discussion is saved by grace and falling from grace. Is it possible for a child of God to fall from grace? Before one could fall from the grace of God, he would be saved by the grace of God. Without the grace of God, no man can be saved. Paul emphasized the merit of God's grace when he wrote, "But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Definitely, the New Testament teaches that man is saved by grace. Were it not for the grace of God, no man could be saved. We wish, therefore, to learn from the teaching of the Scriptures how men are saved by the grace of God. It is important that we understand the meaning of the term grace. Webster defines grace as favor, mercy, pardon, undeserved kindness and mercy of God. The inspired apostle defines or describes grace in these words, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." From this inspired definition of grace, we learn that grace is favor and kindness of God shown to us through Christ his Son. We are not unmindful of the fact that some would have us believe that being saved of the grace of God is neither intelligent nor explainable. But to be saved of the grace of God is to have some peculiar experience or some peculiar feeling that is better felt than told, something you cannot explain. It must be denied that this theory of salvation is true. Being saved of the grace of God is a most intelligent matter. To be saved by grace, one must be taught the will of God, which he must believe and obey. To Titus, the inspired apostle wrote, Titus 2, 11 and 12, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing or teaching us, to the intent that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." Notice carefully that Paul said, the grace of God appears, bringing salvation to all men, teaching them. The grace by which we are saved, therefore, teaches and instructs one. We must not mistake convulsions for conversions. Nor can one merely depend upon his peculiar feelings as evidence of salvation. Someone might presume that because he had an unusual feeling, and his heart beats faster than usual, the rapid pulsation of the literal heart is sure evidence of the fact that he has been saved, saved by the grace of God. Something he just can't explain, but he feels it anyway. But all must recognize the fact that fright, or an unusual pleasant surprise, might produce the same effect upon one's feelings. Yet such peculiar feelings should not be used as evidence of one's being saved by grace. One's feelings may be varied and different, caused by different circumstances, not even related to God's grace. Man's salvation cannot be predicated upon his feelings. Being saved by God's grace is a most intelligent matter, and there are definite reasons which produce the feeling of one's assurance of salvation. How is the grace of God manifested or revealed? Paul gave the answer when he said, "That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5, verse 21. Grace, the apostle declared, reigns through righteousness. But you ask, what is righteousness? David declared, "For all thy commandments are righteousness." Psalms 119, 172. This is in harmony with the statement of Paul in Romans 16, 17, when he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." The righteousness of God, the apostle explained, is revealed through the gospel, which is the power of God to save the believer. But he declared that grace reigns through righteousness. Therefore, the grace of God, by which we are saved, is revealed through the gospel of Christ. For by grace, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men, teaching us, the apostle declared. Pardon or forgiveness of sins must always take place in the mind of the one who has been offended. Man has sinned against God, therefore he, man, is the offender or sinner, and God is the offended. Suppose you were to sin against someone. Would forgiveness take place in your mind or in the mind of the one who was offended? Surely we understand that forgiveness would occur in the mind of the one who had been offended. Furthermore, one thing is certain. Regardless of how much you might desire the forgiveness of that error, you would never know that you were forgiven without some means of communication informing you that you were forgiven. Thus, regardless of how much man may desire the forgiveness of his sins against God, he will never know that his sins have been pardoned without the proper means of communication from God informing him of the conditions of his pardon and the state of his forgiveness. Regardless of how one may feel in his own heart about forgiveness of his sins, just remember that forgiveness of sins does not take place in the mind of the sinner, but with God. Just because one may feel that his sins have been pardoned is no definite assurance that his sins have been forgiven. God forgives, but he forgives on certain conditions, which are made known through the gospel. Salvation is by grace. It was because of God's love, mercy, and kindness, which he had for man, that he provided the plan of salvation. Man actually did not deserve it. He had no lawful claim on God. Man could not claim any equitable ground or right a title to salvation. He was a sinner, a rebel, a transgressor. But God was so abounding in mercy, kindness, and grace that he gave his Son, who interposed with his blood to atone for our sins. Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission, according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. The extent of salvation through God's grace is unlimited. The apostle declared, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." In giving the great commission, Jesus commanded, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. Regardless of the color of one's skin or the language he may speak, salvation is offered to every man, to all classes and degrees of men, to the rich and the poor, noble and ignoble, the monarch and the peasant, the ruler and the slave. Christ offers the blessed hope of salvation. To all men of all grades of moral guilt, the conditions of pardon are offered in the name of Jesus Christ. It included the moralist and excludes not the profane. Men of all ages who are responsible before God are included in the universality of salvation. Salvation warmly embraces the young, receives the middle-aged, and rejects not the aged. How wonderful is the offer of salvation! Are you not glad that you have the opportunity of being a Christian? Although salvation is offered to all men everywhere, we must not conclude that salvation is universal. That is, everyone will be saved. Only those who appropriate the blessings of salvation offered by the grace of God will God save. There may be many good things of life to enjoy, blessings that are free, But unless we avail ourselves of the good things offered to us, we will not be benefited by them. One might stand by a cool, refreshing spring of water and die of thirst, unless he appropriated the blessings of the water by drinking of the life-sustaining blessing of water. Surely that can be no better example of salvation by grace than the example of the inspired author of the text of Ephesians 2, which was read in the beginning, Paul. This great man of God wrote to the early Christians in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul was saved by the grace of God. Truly he could write, not only by divine revelation, but by his own personal experience. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Let us briefly consider Paul's own conversion, the record of which is found in the 9th and the 22nd chapters of Acts. According to Paul himself, Acts 23:1, he was a man who lived before God in all good conscience, having been taught the law, and was zealous toward God. He was a very religious man, sincerely devoted to God, but yet not saved by the grace of God. It must be understood, therefore, that just because a person is honest, sincere, and feels a deep sense of security, lives before God in all good conscience, is deeply religious and devoted to religious cause, does not mean that he is saved by the grace of God. Saul was a deeply religious man, but he was unsaved. While on his way to Damascus to persecute the church of our Lord, Jesus appeared to Saul and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul replied, "Who art thou, Lord?" Jesus answered, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Then, trembling and astonished, Paul inquired, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" Christ the Savior replied, "Arise and go into the city, and that it shall be told thee what thou must do." Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. It will be observed that although the Lord talked with Saul directly from heaven, which did occur during the days of miracles, he was not saved by some direct manifestation of grace. Jesus informed Saul that he would be told what he must do. The experience of salvation by grace is not some peculiar feeling, better felt than told, as the result of some heavenly vision or direct manifestation from God. Saul was saved by grace. He was told what he must do to be saved by grace. Saul waited in the city of Damascus to hear what he must do to be saved. For 3 days and nights he was deeply penitent and prayed. Still, he was unsaved. Finally, the gospel, which is the power of God to save the believer, Romans 1:16, and through which the grace of God is manifested, was brought to him by Ananias the preacher. According to Acts 22:16, Saul was commanded, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This man was saved by the grace of God. He was saved by the grace of God when he obeyed the gospel of our Lord. When he was told, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins," that was the revelation of God's grace to him, and he obeyed the gospel, thus saved by the grace of God. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? Almost all denominations teach that one is saved by grace without having been baptized or before he was baptized. But Saul was commanded, and I quote, "Be baptized and wash away thy sins." His sins were forgiven after he was baptized. He was saved by grace when his sins were forgiven or washed away. But his sins were not washed away until he obeyed the Lord's command. But someone may inquire, was not Saul saved on the Damascus road when he received his sight? Beloved, Saul received his physical eyesight. He had been struck blind on the Damascus road, as you read in Acts 22, verses 9 through 13. The restoration of physical eyesight was in no way related to salvation by grace. Don't you know that if Saul were saved before he was baptized and saved by grace, that the Lord didn't know anything about it because Christ informed him that he would be told what he must do? Don't you know that if he were saved by the grace of God before he was baptized, Saul didn't know anything about it? If Saul were saved by grace before he was baptized, he was about the most miserable saved person we have read about. If Saul were saved before he was baptized, saved by grace, he was saved with his sins still unforgiven. Remember, he was told, and I quote the words of Jesus, "You will be told what you must do." What was he told? Acts chapter 22, verse 16. "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." By the grace of God he was saved when his sins were washed away, when he was baptized into Christ for the remission of his sins. The grace of God brought salvation to Saul, teaching him to obey the gospel of Christ. He was saved by God's grace, but not by baptism only. Every condition of grace revealed in the gospel is essential to salvation, and none is less essential than the other. It is obvious from the text that Saul was a penitent believer who had confessed Christ as the Son of God and was baptized into Christ. By God's grace, Saul was saved. Truly the apostle could declare, "By the grace of God, I am what I am."